tongue, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, who's ready to see a miracle? One's coming. I promise. Throughout this Lenten season, I've been bringing messages on the offerings of the Old Testament and looking at how they relate to us as Christians today, even though we don't practice the animal sacrifices, but they are shadows of things that we do today, offerings that we do make to God. And I'll admit that a lot of the messages I've been bringing and a lot of the ideas have been pretty complicated. And as is not my tradition, through this series, I've actually had notes and outlines. Today's notes and outlines are on my dining room table. We're going to see a miracle. Because so far, God hasn't told me to preach on anything else other than what I was planning today. The sin offering. Details on the sin offering are outlined in the book of Leviticus, chapter 4 through chapter 5, verse 13. I'm not going to read all of that because it's really complicated and really long. And I'm sure that reading it in front of you today, standing here and reading that long text, would probably put some of you to sleep. And to be honest with you, I might fall asleep reading it. I will read some of it a little later in my message. But the sin offering is really primarily for the fact that we are sinners. We fall short. I will read from Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 18. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceits. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the ways of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That doesn't sound good. But we are all sinners. I remember on the day that Ruby was born, and she was born a little early, and she's in her little incubator. Our friends Pastor Tom and Sissy came down to see us, and he kind of took me aside, and she says, "She looks sweet and innocent, doesn't she?" I said, "Yeah, of course." He said, "She's not." I'm not saying anything bad about Ruby, but the fact is that from the moment of birth, we are sinners. Even that little tiny newborn baby on his or her first day. Because you know what? They're mad. They were perfectly fine and perfectly comfortable where they were. And they get pulled out into this harsh world of the bright lights and loud noises. And they're mad about it. That's why babies yell. They're mad. We all sin. Even when we don't want to. We make mistakes, and some of those mistakes are sins. I know a couple people have mentioned the fact today that I seem to have a little bit less hair than I had last week. It's because I made a mistake. Yesterday morning, well, I think the last time I had shaved was Christmas Eve. And the hair from above my lip was kind of starting to go in my mouth. So I got out a little electric trimmer and was kind of trimming just above my lips so that I wouldn't get so much hair in my mouth when I was eating. And wouldn't get so much food in my mustache. And it would be a little easier to kiss my wife. I'm trimming it, and I slipped. I made a mistake. And caught off a big chunk here, exposing the skin. So I thought, well, there goes that. I took it out. I just trimmed off the mustache part and left the beard. And the Abraham Lincoln look doesn't work for me. So I was having some fun. I should have taken pictures. I trimmed off this part down here, and I left these big, bushy sideburns. And I thought it looked pretty good, but it was a little lopsided. So I trimmed it up a little bit to even it out, and then I trimmed it too much, so I had to go to the other side and trim it to even it out. Well, eventually I did even it out, and that's when I stopped. There's nothing left. I got it even out. That's what it takes sometimes. But we make mistakes. We feel things in our hearts but we don't mean to. Has anybody ever done that? That happens to me occasionally when I'm driving, especially at certain intersections that I have to go through often. I get angry at people who do things that I don't think they ought to be doing. Sometimes out of habit, we will let certain words slip out of our mouths, certain curses. Sometimes we will lie without thinking about it. These are the kind of sins that the sin offering is intended for. Sins that we make accidentally, because we do occasionally sin accidentally. Sometimes we sin on purpose. I'll talk about that next week. Let me read a little bit of this from Leviticus chapter 4, verses 27 through 35. Before that, there's a good bit. It talks about different people will sin accidentally. For example, it starts off talking about what the priest has to do when he sins accidentally, what the community has to do when the community as a whole sins accidentally. But this is the part for the individuals. If a member of the community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, he is guilty. When he is made aware of the sin he committed, he must bring as his offering for the sin he committed a female goat without defect. He is to lay his hands on the head of the sin offering and slaughter it at the place of the burnt offering. Then the priest is to take some of the blood with his finger and put it on the horn of the altar of burnt offering and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. He shall remove all the fat, just as the fat is removed from the fellowship offering, and the priest shall burn it on the altar as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. In this way, the priest will make atonement for him, and he will be forgiven. If he brings a lamb as a sin offering, he is to bring a female without defect. He is to lay his hands on the head and slaughter it for the sin offering at the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered. Then the priest shall take some of the blood from the sin offering, put it on his fingers, and put it on the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. He shall then remove all of the fat, just as the fat is removed from the lamb of the fellowship offering, and the priest shall burn it on the altar, on top of the offering made to the Lord by fire. In this way the priest will make atonement for him, for his sins he has committed, and he will be forgiven. Now the killing of this offering is made outside of the temple. The burning of the offering is made outside of the temple because this offering is for sin, and God cannot look upon sin. I need to jump ahead to Good Friday here. On Good Friday, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, one of the things he said was, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Well, we need to remember that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was carrying on his shoulders. He had taken upon himself every sin that ever happened and every sin that ever would happen. He was this sacrifice without blemish. And God could not look at him when he was on the cross. So Jesus felt alone. More alone than he had ever felt in his life, because he knew that at that moment God was not with him. His Father was not with him, because he couldn't be, because he couldn't look at the sin. Just as when we are in a state of sin, he cannot look upon us. This whole process of sacrifice for the sin offering is very complicated. There is so much detail, especially, there's more detail in this offering than in any of the other offerings, because so many things need to be done in just such and so a way, because it's the way God needs it to be, because he can't look at our sin, even the accidental sin, the sins we don't mean to commit, and we do commit them. I know in the Catholic tradition there's a name for that. I can't remember offhand. What is it? Attrition? I'm not sure that, but when we sin without knowing it, you know, even the Apostle Paul said, you know, why is it I continue to do the things I don't mean to do? Why do I continue to do the things that I know are not right? And we all do these things. We don't want to. We know better. We continue to do them. And if we were to have to perform this sacrifice every time we did something wrong, I don't think we'd be doing anything else. Imagine the line outside the temple with everybody there with their goat or sheep having to wait. There'd be some anger in that line. There'd be some cursing in that line. And somebody would say, have to say, hey, save my place for me. I got to go get another sheep. Jesus died for our sins. He died for these sins we don't even know we're committing. If I can go back to looking at the example of the little baby, the tiny child who is still a sinner there, they don't know that it's wrong. They don't know the things that they're doing are wrong. We have to teach them what is good. We have to teach them what is right, even as adults sometimes. Sometimes we don't know that the things we're doing are wrong, and we need to learn. We need to be told. I mean, some of us as adults, imagine how we felt when we found out that playing bridge was a sin. It's not, I'm kidding. But suppose it was. And suppose you felt the conviction then to stop playing bridge. You need to seek forgiveness for your past bridge playing. That's what Jesus died for. The sins we don't know we committed. The sins we committed accidentally. Next week I'll be talking about the other sins. But we need to keep an eye out. And we still need to seek forgiveness for those sins that are accidental when we become aware of them. I've spoken before about my reaction to certain sins that people have and the anger that I get in dealing with certain things, particularly in prison ministry. I've had to seek forgiveness for looking down upon people whom God has forgiven because it takes a little extra effort for me to forgive them for these things. I felt a great conviction about that since the fall when I was in the last time. Jesus died for us. And sometimes we take that for granted. Sometimes we just assume that our sins are forgiven. And they are. But we still need to go before Him and seek forgiveness. The offering's been made. The sacrifice has been made. But for us today, in this sin offering, we still need to ask for forgiveness. We still need to seek forgiveness for those sins, even the little ones, even the accidental ones. It pleases God when we do that. It is that blessed aroma to Him. That is the offering we can offer Him today, to tell Him we're sorry, to try not to do it again, to allow Him to continue to forgive us and to bless us. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Benediction is the good and final word, and we put it at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And the good and final word, I think, for us today is forgiveness, because we have forgiveness from our sins. We don't have to go through this ceremony more often than at all, because it's been done. Jesus came for us. He died for us. He shed His blood for us, for our forgiveness. We need only seek that forgiveness. We need only ask. I will remind you, however, that there is a sin that cannot be forgiven. That is the sin for which forgiveness is not sought. He forgives our sins, even the little ones, even the ones we do by mistake. But we need to seek that forgiveness. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place, blessed and forgiven. Amen.